Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Today we're doing World Missions. So we're winding up our focus series, and we're going to share a little bit more and how missions has affected my life personally, and starting in my hometown of Hawaii, where I was, because I'm a product of missionaries, and so is my wife. My wife came to the Lord because of missionaries, and so we're together. So praise God for World Missions. Brought me my wife. This is actually where I used to live in Hawaii when I was going to college. Bingham Street is my turnoff off the highway there, and Punahou Street, those are the two turnoffs. I lived in between those two streets, and those two streets have a missionary history. So Bingham Street is the one on the left, a little dark, but the one on the left, your left, Bingham Street, was the first missionary to Hawaii, Hiram Bingham. And so they named this street after him because as he served there, the king, at that time Hawaii was a kingdom, the king was so blessed by his service to the nation there that he gifted him a plot of land, actually a couple of plots of land, one for a church and one for a school. Punahou is the plot of land that the king gave to Bingham to start a school. And so what Bingham did is he started the first church in Hawaii, or on Oahu, Kauai Hau Church. And so this church is still there today. It's a huge church. We used to do in that sort of open area, fenced-in area. I used to do a youth concert every night. That used to be a covered pavilion. It was kind of ratty and old, and so they let us use it for free. So we had our youth concert there. Now they're making it into something new. But for all you tech guys, every Friday night I would pile all the sound system into a big old truck and drive there, set up, and have these youth concerts there. Kauai Hau Church, that's the oldest church in Oahu, and really it's a statement church there. The kings and queens, the royalty of Hawaii would attend there. To this day, they actually still have their services in Hawaiian and English. So that's Kauai Hau Church, started by Hiram Bingham, the first missionary to Hawaii. Punahou, the other place that they gave, Punahou is actually the name of a spring of water. So Kauai Hau is the name of a spring of water because every piece of property needed to have a source of water. So this is the way the ancient Hawaiians did. All the pieces of property would all be built around the spring of water. So Kauai Hau was built around Kauai Hau Spring. And Punahou was built around Punahou Spring. And so what Bingham did was he started the first school there in Oahu. And that school today was the first school west of the Rockies in the U.S. And today it's the largest single property private school in the United States. And one of always ranks as one of the top schools in the country. President Obama went there, as did President Sun Yat-sen, went to Punahou. So it's a school with a long history, famous school. My brother actually just sent his daughter there starting this year, and she got accepted to like all the top schools there in Hawaii, and he visited them all, and he said, well, Punahou is so far beyond all the other schools. Sorry if you went to a different school in Hawaii. Sorry for you guys watching. But he said that the depth of education there is phenomenal. And at that time, when Hiram Bingham started it, it was actually just a school started for missionary kids so that they wouldn't have to send their children back to the States, to the mainland USA, to go to school. So they started this school for missionaries and missionary kids. And at the time that they started, the tuition was $12 per student. Now it's close to $30,000, a little more increase. My brother wishes it was still $12. But that's the missionary history and the impact that missions has had in Hawaii and really everywhere it's gone. And so today as we continue on in our series, In Focus, we're going to look at why do we focus on world missions. I want to read a scripture here. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." And so what it's talking about here is prophetic vision is this focus. And prophetic just means it's from the heart of God. All that prophecy is in the church is just sharing what's on God's heart. And so if we don't, if our lives don't have a focus on God's heart for us, then we can miss out on the very purpose for which we are created. And so as we go through as a church, as we've gone through this focus series, we as a church, we believe we're here on purpose. And that there's certain things that God wants us to focus on. You might say that it's the prophetic vision for this church, the things that we want to keep in our field of vision as we go through life. And each of us individually, we need to get a sense of what is God's purpose for you. I always love that story about Walt Disney and how when after he passed and he was not alive to see the finishing of Disneyland, but they're interviewing his wife as they opened up Disneyland. And they asked her, what do you think your husband would have thought if he was here to see this? And what's been created? And she said, the reason why this here is because my husband saw it. And it was his vision. And that's really in life. If we want to accomplish anything of worth and of value, it takes focus. But what we really want to do is align our focus, align our vision with what's on God's heart. And this is what this In Focus series has been about. And so we've covered these several things. Marketplace, the reason why we as a church focus on the marketplace is because God's heart is not just for the church. And the purpose of the church is not just for us to gather and have a feel-good time together. The purpose of the church is for us to learn more about the love of Christ, have our lives transformed so we take Jesus and the love of God into the marketplace, because that's where Jesus spent his time, and that's where his heart is at. And so if our hearts align with his, we want to take the love of God and the goodness of God and take it as a blessing to the places where people live. The marketplace, as we shared, is just where people live. Family. Family is God's idea. It's his purpose. And so Jesus was born into a family, just like, you know, every human being on earth. We're born into families, just like Adam and Eve. When God saw Adam, he said, it's not good. As for humankind, God meant for family to be the foundation stone of community and society. And so we believe that the families have been, you know, families are under so much pressure these days. There's so many things that are anti-family in our culture. And so we as a church believe that we want to restore the family and help strengthen the family. And church is actually like family. In fact, it's interesting when you look at Jesus in his family, they at first, while he was alive, they rejected him. They said, how can you be the Messiah? They didn't believe he was Messiah. He didn't believe he was the Son of God. They ridiculed him. They separated themselves from him. But when they saw his death and resurrection, and began to understand who he truly was, James, his brother, actually not only became a convert, he became the leader of the early church. So the first leader of the church was actually Jesus' brother. Human family, spiritual family work together. They're both God's intention. And so as we want to focus on both spiritual family and natural family, because we believe those are key to a strong community and a strong society. Campus, because just because we believe that our vision is bigger than our lifetimes. And we want to make sure that what God's intention is for this church goes into the next generation so they can carry it on. Church planting. We believe that everybody needs spiritual family in their neighborhood, in their city, in their nation. And so that's why we believe in just planting more churches so that there's people in proximity. And we'll talk a little bit about proximity today. World missions, that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of our lives. God, our prayer today is that as we look into the word, you would align our hearts a little closer to yours. That today, Lord God, will you not just stories and not just information, but truly, Lord God, you would speak to our hearts and reveal something of your heart, and that we would be transformed as we hear your voice speaking to the inner places of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message, why are we focused on world missions as we wrap up this series? Here's a little overview of where we're headed. Number one, world missions is an expression of who God is. Number two, world missions is part of every nation's mission. That's the group of family of churches that we're a part of. And Number three, world missions is changing the world. So world missions is an expression of who God is. When we think of missions, oftentimes in our contemporary culture, at least in America, we think of Mission Impossible. And we think of these tasks and assignments that we're given, you know, that are exciting. We're going to go do this mission. But truly, missions in terms of as how we view it in the church and from scripture, missions is really just an expression of the heart of God. Our God is a missionary God. He's the one who instituted missions. He created this world. And so he reached down from heaven across the universe and created earth and created humanity to have people to love. And missions is that ongoing expression of the love of God to others. That's all that missions is. And so God didn't just stand off and say, okay, I'm going to create the world over there. I'm going to stay in heaven. But the Bible tells us that he not only spoke into the world and brought it into being, but the Bible says that he formed Adam out of the dust. And he got his hands into it. He came close. And he breathed life into Adam's nostrils. So he came close to Adam. And the Bible says that every day God would come down into the Garden of Eden and walk with Adam and Eve. So that's the missionary heart of God. And that's really a picture of all that missions is. It's coming and sharing our hearts, coming alongside people, walking with them and sharing life, sharing the heart of God, sharing the goodness of God, sharing the love of God, because that's who God is. The Bible says God is good and God is love. God is not laws and rules. God is not religion. He's good and he's love. And so when we walk this earth, whether in our neighborhood, our school, or in other nations, our purpose is to be like our missionary God and share the goodness and the love of God. So world missions is an expression of God, who God is in creation, as we just shared. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then God blessed them, and he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and govern it. So not only was it in God as he created the earth, but then it was also that missionary heart was assigned to humanity. They say, now you go and fill the earth. And you take that love and express it. It's also an expression of who God is in salvation. John 3:16 says, for this is how God loved the world. That's that missionary heart of God. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So God not only came, God the Father not only came to earth as a missionary, he sent his son as a missionary, as an expression of his love for the world. And so as we want to be an expression of God's heart, then we too have to go in love to the world and send. It's also, world missions is an expression of who God is in Jesus' commission. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. See, missions is not so much about location as much as it is a willingness to go and to share the love of God. And I love how the Father came from earth. God came and created the world, and then he sent Jesus. Jesus came to earth. And then he sent the disciples now, and the Holy Spirit comes alongside and empowers us. So God, the full Trinity, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in missions. And so we're going to be a reflection of God because we are created to be in God's image. Then we too need to have a heart for the world. We too need to go. We need to walk alongside. We need to send. We need to have the power of the Holy Spirit. World missions is also part of every nation's mission. Every nation is our church family, and it's one of the three priorities in ministry that every nation has. The three are for all every nation churches around the world are number one, campus ministry, church planting, and world missions. And I just want to show a little video. It's an every nation video of about church planting and missions and the heart behind missions.
Every nation currently has 88 church plants around the world. We're dedicated to planting churches and campus ministries that compassionately minister the love of Jesus in their communities by being socially responsible.
This nation is in need for a gospel of grace and a gospel of hope. And we hope that through what we do and serve our city, we will be able to serve Singapore in this way.
So now there's a whole community that is able to have access to clean water, and it's just been such a blessing to the community. Some people have come to faith because of that gesture. We know that the gospel is able to transform nations.
So the snowstorm was mid-February 2021. It was probably the worst snowstorm that in recent history that Austin had experienced. Mosaic Church felt we needed to help because it's just who we are. And they literally just started creating a call center. And so they opened up requests for people to just send in their needs.
Through our project, the Global Cafe, God has opened the door for us to be able to minister to a large group of refugees, asylum seekers in our city. During the week, we have this facility where they can go and they can, you know, get a meal, they can do first aid courses, pottery, carpentry, things like that, you know, just to kind of help them develop a new skill.
The Bible says, we who have been reconciled have been given the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. It's possible for the world to come together in Christ.
What we have is a piece of the kingdom of heaven that we can express here on earth.
We're not waiting to be a big church, a huge church, before we start reaching the nation.
Around the world, and as we look to plant more churches in more nations, leaders are being equipped and empowered to go. In 2021, Every Nation Seminary launched with its first cohort, 35 students from 19 nations. These leaders are being equipped with a missionary mindset and a global perspective that will help them engage in mission in their local context and beyond.
I'm just excited to continue to grow and to see how God is going to develop me further in the next 3 years of ENS, and just to be able to align my own development, my own formation as a leader, alongside the vision that God has given the ministry.
I believe that ENS can help us as Uganda also to raise more missionaries, more leaders, more preachers, and but above all, more disciples of Jesus Christ.
As Every Nation churches continue to identify, equip, and empower leaders, we're looking forward to planting more Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries. Together, we can reach every nation and every campus.
So it's just on the heart of God. We just want to be an expression of the heart of God. And world missions really comes down to meeting the needs of people around you. That's really what world missions does. So this is the EN mission statement. You've heard it said many different times, and it's really our church mission statement is we exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. And that socially responsible part is this, you know, coming alongside the communities around us as a missions church, as an expat congregation here coming into, most of us are not from here, and we're all from somewhere else. And the truth is, all of us are the product of missions, unless you are Jewish and come from a Jewish background, and you trace your roots back to the Messiah, Jesus, and his hometown. The rest of all of us are the results of missions. We are the fruit. Because someone from Jesus' neighborhood and the community that he reached was willing to go beyond that community and to express and share the love of God. And that's why you and I know about Christ. And that's why we have a responsibility to take that and share that with others. It is the heart of God, and it is what Christians do. And so why should you be involved in missions? So we take it out of the biblical and the, you know, missional, and just say, let's get it personal. Why should you be involved in missions? And I'm going to just tell some stories about the impact that missions have had. Because the reason why we get involved in missions is because the impact the missionaries have. And these are, Hiram Bingham is the guy who had that street name from in Hawaii. And these are three figures in missions in Hawaii and the history of missions there. And so I'm just going to unpack who they are and how world missions transformed Hawaii, and therefore how that has come down to transforming my life. The very first Hawaiian Christian, the very first convert in Hawaii is in the center there, Henry Opukahaya. He was born in 1792. So most of this evangelism and missions work in Hawaii started right around 1800, the turn of the century there. And so Henry, in that time, that same time frame was when Hawaii was becoming a nation. Up until that time, it had just been feuding tribes. Each island had its own tribe. And this was the time frame in which Hawaii was all one, the king of the of one island was conquering all the other islands. And so Henry Opukahaya, his family, he saw his mother and father be killed in battle from one another island. And his own brother, he was actually carrying his brother when his brother was killed by a spear being thrust into his younger brother. And he was captured, but then he escaped from capture. And then he got away and he saw a boat, a ship in the harbor. He swam out to it, and the Westerners on that boat took him on board and took him to the States. And so he got to the States just wanting to get away from all the death and destruction. But when he was there, a pastor opened his home to him and said, "Why don't you come live with us?" And so he lived with this pastor, and he came to Christ, Henry Opukahaya did, and wanting to get away from Hawaii and all that was going on there. When he found Christ, his world was completely turned around. He was so impacted by the love of God that he decided he wanted to go back to the islands and bring Jesus back to the islands. So he went into training to be a missionary back to his islands. And everywhere he would go, this is in the Northeast. I think he was at Yale University. But everywhere he'd go, he would share about his desire to go and be a missionary and to go back to the islands and the need for missionaries in the islands. And so Hiram Bingham was influenced by Henry Opukahaya, because Henry Opukahaya never got back to the islands. He actually died at the age of 26 before being able to return back to the islands. But he carried that missionary heart of God. And that missionary heart of God so impacted the believers in the Northeast that a group of missionaries was raised up, and Hiram Bingham brought a group of missionaries to Hawaii in his stead. And see, so the heart of world missions, sometimes you have reverse missions like that, where Henry Opukahaya left his home and came and was impacted. And that's like this expat church here. We see people from all over the world. Our heart is that people from all over the world would come here and be so impacted by the love of God that they'd want to take that love back to their hometowns and to other places in reverse missions. And that even if they don't get back to their hometown, they would so impact others that others would have a desire. And so Hiram Bingham, the first missionary to Hawaii, came and established the first churches there. And the man on the right there, Titus Cohen, he's actually the one who instigated a revival in Hawaii. And so he came in 1836. Hiram Bingham came in 1821, 3 years after Henry Opukahaya died. Hiram Bingham came. And from 1821 to 1836, Titus Cohen came. And when he came to Hawaii, the missions was still struggling in terms of evangelism. It was having an impact more in the area of education and in changing things, changing society, but not yet in the area of the church growing. And so when Titus Cohen came, he went to a different island from Hiram Bingham, and the church there was just 21, had 23 members in 1836. But in the intervening years, Titus Cohen began to evangelize. The story of Titus Cohen is that he began to just, in those days, he didn't have he didn't have a horse. He just began to walk. And his commitment was he met everybody who lived within a 100-mile radius of where he lived. That was he wanted to befriend. And as he befriended them, person after person became a Christian. And he wasn't a doctor, but he would just begin providing medical care to them. His wife started the first girls' school there, but he eventually oversaw 50 schools within that 100-mile radius, and just raised the education level. Hiram Bingham started the first Hawaiian dictionary and put the Hawaiian language into written form so that the Bible then could be spread. So for the sake of the gospel, they started schools, started education, got the language written. And so Titus Cohen took that language and began to start schools as well and minister. And by the time that he passed away, his church had over 15,000 members and was the largest church known in the known world at that time in Hawaii, because he had a heart and he just took the missionary heart of God. In the 35 years that he lived there, he only went back one time back home. I like going home every year, fly back home and see, but he only went back once and he died in the islands. Went back once, visited for a year and came back. He was so committed to the people there. Loved them so much, much like Dr. McKay here in Taiwan. Titus Cohen is dearly loved by the people of Hawaii because he would just walk, canoe, meet people, take care of them, meet their needs, and share the gospel. He would preach as many as 25 times in a day, just going from house to house, town to town, preaching the gospel. He once did a camp meeting that went for 2 years. Every day, he would ring the bell when it was time to preach, and he'd say, "Okay, I'm going to preach now," and people would just walk. It was kind of a different world. I know a lot of your pastors would say, "No, you're not going to go to the camp meeting," but in those days, he would just ring the bell, whether it was at nighttime or daytime, when he was ready to preach, he would just ring the bell, and people would come, and thousands came to Christ through that missionary heart, world missions. It transformed the islands of Hawaii. Ended things like drunkenness, prostitution, were just deeply affected by these men. It changed the islands. And that's really, what world missions is. It's people like Henry Opakahai who are broken by life, alone, beaten down, just trying to get away from the destruction. We do missions because we want to meet people personally in their moments of needs, transforming like a whole nation, like the nation of Hawaii, because all of the royalty in Hawaii, they all came to Christ. And Hawaii actually became a Christian nation. Out of the population of 72,000 at that time, 56,000 were Christians. And so actually the missions study said, "We're going to stop sending missionaries. I don't need any more missionaries." Transformed a society. And so on an individual level and a society level, we need world missions. So how do we get involved in world missions? Number one, pray. And Jesus said this. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his field." Why? Because prayer is how our hearts begin to become more like God's heart. And what people don't need is a bunch of missionaries who have their own intentions, their own desires. We've seen that happen time and time again throughout the history of the church. People going in and things like the Crusades, "We're going to bring you to Jesus, but first we're going to kill you all." It's just that we get these notions of what God should be doing. And we try to bend God to our will and what we think is right. What really needs to happen is that as we pray, our hearts need to be transformed first to become like his heart. And so that's where prayer begins, is in the transformation of our hearts. In fact, when you look at the reason why Christ came, that missionaries came to Hawaii in that season at the turn of the century, the beginning of the 18th century, is because of a thing called the Second Great Awakening in America, where churches began to just have more and more of the heart of God and start to break out of just dead religion and rules and regulations into being passionately in love with God and having a fire for God. And there were a bunch of college students who were affected by this, and they were just talking about the effects that this Second Great Awakening was having. And so they would go and pray and just go out into the forest, into this arbor of trees, and they would pray. And one time when they went out to pray, they're together, these five students, as they were praying, the rain began to fall. And so they went and took shelter under a haystack. And under that haystack, as they were praying, God began to move in their hearts. And they became so impassioned to just say, we have to do something about. They were talking about the need for missionaries in Asia and other places here, like Taiwan and other places in the world. And as they were talking about Asia, God began to get a hold of their hearts and just said, "Enough prayer. We need to go do something about this." And so they have what they call the Haystack Revival, which actually almost every mission society in America can trace its roots back to those five students and that prayer time under that haystack. And so out of there, one of those five students was the pastor who invited Henry Opakahaya into his home to come and live. And that's where he caught the missionary fervor and said, I want to go back to my island. See how hearts are transformed. Samuel Mills, his heart was transformed by what he heard in the Second Great Awakening and transformed as he got together with his other students in prayer. And it's in prayer that his heart was transformed, and his heart then transformed Henry Opakahaya's heart. And Henry Opakahaya's heart then transformed the hearts of people like Hiram Bingham, Titus Cohen, who initially was going to go to Patagonia, spent 9 months there, and then heard about what was going on in Hawaii and shifted his direction and said, I want to go there and cause that great revival. And so church and all of us as individuals, in that place of prayer, God, prayer is not about us trying to bend God to our will. Prayer is about us allowing God to transform our hearts to his will. And so world missions is really more a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of just going across the seas. It's a matter of allowing the heart of God to change our hearts. We pray, we send. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And so in the heart of God is a heart to send. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And that's anybody who doesn't know Christ. You don't have to go to some distant land. Sometimes you just have to go to the person in the room next door, the cubicle next door, the desk next door, in line next to you at Starbucks, helping you at 7-Eleven. How will they hear unless we allow ourselves to be sent? How will it go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Let's go have beautiful feet and let's go. Everyone, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I want to end with a video here. This is the last month. One of my great heroes in the faith passed away at the age of 94. His name is Brother Andrew. And he was an amazing missionary into the Soviet Union when it was still closed to the gospel. And so there's a video of telling his testimony by the missions organization that he started, Open Doors. And so let's watch this video together.
Well, now, the first trip across, you just pulled up to the border. Is that when you prayed and said, God, let the seeing not see at that time? Or was that
That's what we call my smuggler's prayer when I say, Lord Jesus, when you are on earth, you've made so many blind eyes to see. Now, it's the same job for you to make seeing eyes blind, but you've got to do it now. And if he doesn't, then I've had it. I cannot outsmart the custom guards. Just think, when I pull my car in there and I get out to show my papers, I've had situations where they took 4 hours to search. Two fellows in the front of my vehicle, two in the rear, two underneath, and two standing there to watch the expression on my face to see if I was getting nervous. What can you do?
And all the time they couldn't find the Bible? Well,
I've never lost one Bible in 20 years that I've done.
No. Oh, that sucks.
God spoke to me again through his word. Awake, strengthen what remains, which is at the point of death. Then I understood I have to go to the Christians. And I said, Lord, yes, but how? I think we in the West, now this is a personal confession, I think we are cowards. We ought to become people of guts and courage and strong convictions, and don't count our lives dear unto ourselves. Did it in obedience to God's permission. It was so big and bold, that endeavor. We did it in one night. Time magazine here says it was the boldest expedition that they have ever witnessed in missions, and I'm glad we were part of it. We did it, but we did it in Jesus' name. Now that I have come of age, more and more people ask, Andrew, what do you want written on your tombstone? I have options. One of them sounds very pious. He's not here, he is risen. Or another option is, he did what he couldn't. Or, like Oswald Chambers' gravestone, I visited that graveyard in Zaytun in Egypt. Oswald Chambers, a disciple of Jesus Christ. That gives glory to God, a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's powerful. If you've never read the book, God's Smuggler, it's very much worth a read. But I love this statement by Brother Andrew. I'll just close with this statement. If your vision doesn't scare you, then your vision or your God is too small. In focus. What's in our vision? What are we focused on in our life? Is it just our own stuff? Is it things that we can easily accomplish ourselves? Or do we have a vision that aligns, a prophetic vision for our lives, a vision that's comes from the heart of God? Our God has such an expansive heart. It's a heart that loves the world. The good, the bad, the ugly, friends and enemies, family and foes. The heart of God loves the world. Our prayer for this church is that we would be a church that has the heart of God. That we would be moved by the needs of people around us. It wouldn't be just a church that loves to come and sing songs together and learn new things about the Bible, but that we'd be a church who feels like Jesus, the heart, the needs of people around us. And like Brother Andrew, has a vision that goes beyond our selfish selves. To want to share the goodness and the love of God with people next door and people around the world. If your vision doesn't scare you, then your vision or your God is too small. Would you stand with me?
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just
in this moment, Lord. We know that there are some here who maybe have never tasted of your goodness or your love. There's some here maybe who have tasted at times, but are in a place where they just feel broken and hurt and wounded. And Lord, like Henry Opakahaya, where he's just trying to get away from the pain, trying to find a place of peace. God, I pray that this moment, Lord, we just would turn our hearts towards you and just say, Lord, we're done with living our selfish lives, bound and destroyed by sin. And we turn our lives over to you, God. And we just say, Lord, take this old hardened heart in this old sinful heart. Lord, forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life. I want to commit my life to you. I want to become like you. I want to invite you into my life. And God, I pray for us as a church that we would hear that same invitation of you knocking at the doors of our hearts, wanting to come and wanting to really commune with us, to share together, share life together with us so that we could then share your life with others. God, I pray that today would be a day when we would just open our hearts a little bit more to you and just be willing to surrender and just say, God, make my heart more like yours. And God, as a church, we join our hearts together and say, Lord, as a church, make our heart like yours. May we be a place where people can find freedom, love, relief, healing, community, forgiveness, redemption, and reconciliation. God, may this church, may we as individuals and as a community be marked by your goodness and by your love. And God, may many Hiram Binghams, many Henry Opakahayas, many Titus Cohens be raised up in this place to take that love and share it with others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.